Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? I sure hope many of you have been on this journey with me where this is the final podcast of this deep dive series here at the AEC Integration Summit. And I have been so jazzed for this conversation that we're going to go into with Charlie Dunn, who is the General Session Workshop Lead. He kicked this thing off the first morning, and we've been talking about it with all the different podcasts throughout of the word Lego is a pretty cool interaction of how he has teed this up, and we're going to talk through that and share some stories that every one of these podcasts I've been talking about how Charlie is the ultimate storyteller and has been guiding us on sharing better stories throughout this whole conference. Charlie is the project storyteller at DPR. It's in his actual, it's ingrained in him, and it's actually in his title at DPR. And so I want to start this off before we officially get into the speed round of kind of duplicating the story I just got done when I introduced Josh Bone, who was the interview I did before this. And, you know, a big shout out to Nathan Wood, who I've been doing on every one of these podcasts, where when I showed up here, I said, Nathan, are you available to do lunch? And he's like, no, I'm still on the plane, but you should have lunch with these guys. And it's four numbers I don't know. And I walk into the hotel, and Nathan, the master facilitator he is, all four of us walk in at the same time, and we go sit down to have lunch. And this initial conversation around, like, the psychology around getting people going and rowing in the same direction was fascinating. That's what we're going to go on. But then last night, we got to know each other, and everybody's having a good old time. And Charlie said, hey, we got to go swimming in the morning. And at that same time, Josh Bone had just walked up, and I'm kind of like, I had no desire of getting up early morning to go swimming. And Charlie painted this picture like he does in storytelling. And Josh Bone goes, I'm 1,000% in. And that's when I knew I had to be in. And this morning, sun is coming up. And I was still kind of, you know, trying to catch my grass to get it. And Charlie jumps in the water and swims across. And I'm like, well, here we go. So I jump in. We start swimming. And he goes straight over to find this diving board and does this big swan dive. So that's how our day started today with Charlie, about having as much fun as possible. Charlie, what an honor to have you here on the podcast and unpack some of the stories, for you to share the stories as kind of train the trainer is easier said than done when you're training others how to share stories, but now sharing it. So intimidating and vulnerable, all those things. But it's an honor to have you here. Let's start off with the speed round. Charlie, what's your favorite beverage?
I'm going to go with Liquid Death.
Liquid Death. That's that new water stuff, right?
It's a new water. Yeah. It's just the irony and the humor and the branding. And it's a cool story.
What's the story?
This guy figured a new spin on you know, Perrier and, you know, sparkling water, and has turned it into a successful beverage company.
It is amazing, isn't it?
It's kind of like Topo Chico.
Right.
Like, yeah, let's import water from Mexico. It'd be great, and it has been.
What's your favorite place you've traveled?
That's a hard, hard question.
Well, you got to tee it up, though, because how I got introduced to you, you do need to tell me the story on the biking, too.
Okay. So all-time single favorite is a hike in India, Korgard Trek. One of the things I did there was I dove into a mountain lake that now connects to Switzerland, where because I wanted to dive into another mountain lake, we rented e-bikes, went to the top of the Gornergrat cog train to bike down to Riffelsee, and then later that day would crash that bike, fracture my femur, get airlifted out by helicopter, swinging on a rope in a basket with a doctor and a paramedic hanging beside me, having a conversation, looking at the Matterhorn. So that, but the common thread is,
and there's a video we'll put in the show notes that of this, that this is the real deal of, like, that's why I want to kind of just a day in the life of Charlie.
But the thread, and then it ties back to you and me this morning. Like, let's go find some water and go swimming. Like, why not? Barton Springs, Austin, Texas. If you come to Austin and you can make the time, you won't regret going to Barton Springs.
There you have it. What's your hobby or passion outside the construction silos we work on breaking down every day we call the art of construction?
It's been keeping the twinkle in my daughter's eye and being a bigger kid than she is. I've learned through so much of that process, and now watching her transition. She plays violin and is studying violin music education, but watching her transition as a 19-year-old into an adult, I'd have to say that's number one.
Yeah, I love that, of hanging out with you last few days, of the people at the hotel counter, of have anybody ever told you you're Jeff Bridges, and to your slide with your daughter at the beginning, like, and I towering above us, but that, you know, that big gentle giant, what an honor to have you. What is your story that led you to being the project storyteller at DPR?
So I came into DPR and they said, we're a flat organization. Internally, we don't have titles. So I said, cool, I'm going to make my own. But actually in 2012, in the middle of my first nuclear outage, while doing scheduling for nuclear outage, I realized the tools we use do not tell us the story. And the way we measure our readiness also does not tell us whether or not we're ready. So I came up with an idea, submitted it to a very rigorous group, AACEI. I call those guys the propeller heads in scheduling and cost management. It's the Association for the Advancement of Cost Engineering. My submission was the narrative paradigm. What if we judge schedules not based on data and metrics, but based on storytelling principles? And there is academic research that justifies this approach by Walter Fisher, who led the communications department of the University of Southern California. And he wrote a book, Narrative Paradigm, and said most people don't process and make decisions well from data, but all people, all human beings, know how to make judgments based on story. Primarily two things: coherence, is it put together the right way, and fidelity, is it true to what we know based on past experience? So that was in 2012. I joined DPR 2017, chose that, put it out on LinkedIn as Project Storyteller. Would learn later that year that in 2012, I didn't know that DPR was a company. I'd never met anyone from DPR in 2012. The lead of our management committee did a presentation about project planning. And he said, our schedules need to be a good story that everyone on the project team understands. And seeing that, after having on my own way come to that conclusion, was just kind of a confirmation. This is the right path. We need stories that are clear to everyone, that use all the modern media, right? It's not just spoken word, written word. It's 4D with the model. It's visual dashboards. It's all of the ways that we can still tell stories that people understand. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, give the listening audience, I know most people that listen have heard of DPR, but give the 30-second commercial of who is DPR and what they're all about.
Okay, so DPR, we're a technical builder. We work in core markets that include life science, advanced tech, data centers, mission critical, healthcare, hospitals, and kind of higher end corporate. Started by three guys, Doug, Peter, Ron, hence DPR. They said, let's start a company that doesn't have any of the things we hated at previous companies. On their journey to starting this company, they met a then researcher at Stanford who had yet to write a book, Jim Collins. So as Jim was preparing to write Good to Great, DPR was building the foundation for a company that would be built to last.
Fascinating. I didn't know that part. That's cool. Well, here we go. So you're leading the general workshop at the conference. Can you tell the Art of Construction Master Facilitators about leading the general workshop? And I'm going to read a little clip here that Nathan Wood and the Construction Progress Coalition here at the AEC Integration Summit teed this up for us. Charlie Dunn, the project storyteller from DPR Construction, to introduce LSP, Lego Serious Play activities each morning that will wake up your brains and prepare us for the journey ahead. Charlie, tell us about Lego Serious Play.
So internally at the Lego group in the 1990s, there was a team that was looking at research from education about learning methodologies, how the brain works, and there was science and data that showed that when people worked with their hands, they communicated differently and better. And one of the keys was creating a democratized communication environment where there is no leader in the room. And then the other was creating a simple framework to deal with complex topics. So what we did here is not the, say, original or pure version of Lego Serious Play. It has applications. We've evolved from those principles to a series of simulations. And then the one we chose here, because it best fit with the teams and what they're working on, I've told multiple people this week, I felt like a proud parent in a way, that David and Steve were challenged to come up with a better way to communicate uniformat and earlier specification understanding across the parties, not by using PowerPoint, but by using Lego. And they developed this brilliant Lego simulation that everyone went through, had this awareness, created this communication opportunity, and really got everybody's minds in the right place to go work on these challenges that the teams are working on.
I couldn't agree more. And that's kind of the journey we're going to go down of kind of round one and round two and kind of talk through some of the stuff that I specifically didn't sit in one of the teams because I wanted to bounce around and be able to get some different perspectives from the room. And shout out to Aaron and the team of Construction Channel. They're documenting this whole conference and we'll make sure to showcase the video stuff. But I also took a bunch of clips on my iPhone that just going around that I'm going to kind of take this conversation here and replay that because, correct me if I'm wrong, this was kind of the fifth version. This is new kind of new presentation, but you're kind of training the trainer, and I really want to take what you're doing and continue going.
This time last year, it did not exist, and now
so that's what's so cool about this conference, and it really, like, there was so many aha moments, and I want to unpack that, and you kind of share some stuff that you've seen to where my goal from this is, people need to pay attention and learn by doing in a different way. And you were showing me, what was the tool you showed me instead of PowerPoint?
Oh, Mincy.
And so we'll kind of talk through of those different things along the way, how you were fully engaged with your phone going around, but hiding that. So that's kind of how I wanted to tee this thing up.
All right.
To go through this journey together and kind of replay in a conversation of how this went of Lego Serious Play. So talk us through how you had your team first announce it from the beginning and what the goals were for round one, and then we'll do the same for round two.
Okay. So one of the things that is very important in this is that it is intentionally designing experiences so that the content in the room comes from the people in the room. So it is not an expert or a panel of experts telling the room things they need to know. It is the room learning together based on experience that they have and then advancing from that experience to a next awareness, understanding, maturity. So that was some of what we did. Introduced Menti as a tool to capture feedback and did that, to kind of get everybody comfortable with. You scan the QR code and it pops up on your phone and we can get real-time feedback. And what I told you, there are a lot of tools at conferences to collect feedback, but Menti is the one. The others to me all feel like a computer designed a tool to capture data. Menti feels like artists created an experience so that human beings feel connected. So it feels like you've got a connection in the room and everyone's contributing.
Yeah, what I would add to that is, these color recognitions that you had, how many years have you been doing this to kind of help understand the psychographics and the demographics, but then you were relating down that journey throughout that by colors and where the different years of experience to the feedback to the status quo.
Right. Yeah, years of experience, and you know, what does that mean for your optimism in the industry? Years of experience, and how many times have you been to CPC? So you can ask a question and then slice, you know, future data by that data in real time.
Yeah, and the goal to that, after the whole thing, you and I are up front, and one of the audience members came up and said, "Man, you just really drive my passion." And he's like, "I'm 71 years old," and this, like, and I was like, "Yes, like that's like the years of experience with the passion to create this collaboration is super cool." So that's how you teed it up. That was the software, if you will. And then can you talk through the different characters and guide us along where you were kind of the MC and you had, what were the names of the gentlemen? What was the company that helped?
So Conspectus, they have Conspectus Cloud, which is their own, they write specifications for architects. So over 50% of the contract language is the words they write on, you know, as part of specifications. They built Conspectus Cloud to help create better transparency and make it easier to review and improve and get the right content and specifications. And we had been working together on presentations going back a couple of years. And the genesis for this came at Master Builders Iowa last year in February, where I was doing a series of simulations, and they would present about why specification clarity earlier was better, but it was a kind of a disconnect from the experiential stuff I was doing and what they were doing with PowerPoint. Good content, but just landed differently. And so I said, "Hey, can you guys come up with this Lego approach to teach what's important to you?" And they did. And so they had four roles: an owner, a designer, a general contractor, and an operator, facility manager, and two rounds. And so the room was, you know, eight people at a circular table, split up into teams of four. They each pick a role, and then they have instructions there to follow. And in the first round, what it's really highlighting is what we see is common in the industry. Things are done in a sequence where people are making decisions that are not aware of constraints that other stakeholders have or requirements that other stakeholders have. And so they'll make a decision and complete something, and then it gets to the next, you know, person in line, next sequence, and we have to do rework and undo what we've done and then redo with something else. And the frustration that causes, and the lack of alignment and the difficulty to hit the targets. Because what they did that was very effective, that was part of why we selected this one to use here, is they created a scoring mechanism on the criteria of aesthetics or meeting design intent, schedule, cost, and operations. So four very important criteria that in a very short, 60 to 90 minute time frame, you can see how making decisions and the order in which you make decisions and the transparency and collaboration you have or you don't have has a positive or negative impact on those four criteria.
Yeah, one of my big visuals that, like, so there it was the baggies of Legos. There wasn't a ton of different Legos in there. And it was fascinating to see as I went around all the different tables of the version one of, like, how amazingly different they were with just a few different Lego blocks of the skinny ones, the fat ones, the different types of bricks. And then after they did that, it was the different personas around the table of where they wanted to go. But I loved how they said no one could say anything. It was just the leader, I think, just had to just build the first. And it was everyone just kind of had to sit there.
Right, on their own in a silo.
Yeah.
He's doing his thing.
Yes. Kind of how the real world works. And just give me three designs and we're going to go from there. So, like, we watched that happen. And then you started to learn the rules of the game downstream, which is kind of how it happens, right? And we've been having all these podcasts, Greg from Trimble talking about being able to put all these silver bullets together, that there is no such thing, to talking with Hamza, talking about his final question of when we get to yours, the crystal ball was, there's no such thing as an RFI. And then I talked with Josh Bone and all his history of, you know, education. And now we're here, and where I'm going with all this is they started changing the rules, very simple, of just saying you have to remove this color of this type of brick. and mass confusion hit on of like, what's the rules? How do we keep track for the score? And then at the end of it, one of my favorite comments in round one, like the person who had the most moves was, he's like, a lot of cantilevers, huh? And he's like, yeah, and I remember seeing that was the coolest
design,
you know, Frank
build,
Gehry,
yes.
Coolest at the very beginning, but right off the bat, they were at a big downfall because they weren't thinking of what we talk about art of construction is system-built construction, of beginning that way, of just having the mindset of that, the cool factor. So that, a lot of visuals I saw from that, from that gooey middle of round one to then starting to get downstream. So then they remove the bricks, and then you did another round of that, right? And one of my big takeaways is that is, and they articulate very well of like, oh, change order, and everyone's like, ah, change. And one of the tables just said, no, we refuse. We refuse your change order. And then I went to you and we were talking. I was like, what are some of the things like, you know, like people going around trying to slip 20s to get more bricks or changing around? So.
Right. Yeah. Or swap their bricks. Or, yeah. That was round one. Somebody said, okay, so who's actually keeping score? Because I have some cash and I'd like to make a bribe. Like, because we called it, we kind of threw out the, we hadn't really come up with a name for it, but right now the working name for this one is building reality. Like, what's the reality we see now when we're building, and then how can we shift that reality? And round two, the other thing you could really feel in the room, and it's this current tendency we have that we want to start.
So unpack that. So how did he present round two?
So in round two, everyone knew the constraints together. So there wasn't this siloed, you know, sequence. But then round two, intentionally, there were really three 5-minute rounds of planning or mitigating a change order before you started building. And you could see visibly that some people...
Which didn't happen, though, but they're all, like, starting to build. But that's when I was like, oh, dude, where's my prefab? They're now kind of prefabbing and testing because they couldn't help it. Like, because that's what we do. They're building stuff. They're testing.
Yeah, builders want to build. But having that discipline and that, you know, and that's where I mentioned the book, How Big Things Get Done. And one of the four key principles in that book is think slow, act fast. And too often in our industry, we act fast, act slow to respond to things, but we're kind of like thinking fast or we want to do fast. We don't give ourselves that early time. And it really, that's round two really aligns with the early parts of that book that talks about the very low cost and high return of early planning, of simulating, you know, of playing with options. And that's what you saw in those 3 5-minute rounds. They were playing with options before they actually went and built.
100%. And that's where the blending on-site and off-site construction, like, that's where I was, like, walking around, like, they're like, well, we maybe get points for stairs, and they're, like, reworking the little bricks and, like, moving stuff around. Like, and that was one of my... As you talk about the 5 seconds of fame or the aha moment or all these things, that's why I was like, this is so real. Like, if modular factories or prefab were to sit and do this for real on projects this way versus...
Yes, real prototyping. What if we could do 4 to 7 rounds of prototyping every time as a standard
Josh
approach?
Talked about,
yes.
You know, the crystal ball with technology is like where AI and the generative tools that are out there, like meeting... But we got to work with our hands and then be able to put that stuff together. So there was so many aha moments I saw of testing the kit of parts based on the parameters of how you score. Because everybody wants to win. And they leaned big time into what are the trade-offs to win at the great game of Lego Series Play.
And I think, too, the other thing that you observed, you've mentioned a couple times these ahas, but it's, and I've said this before, It's high density of ahas that in a very short time with a very simple framework, the reality and the challenges in that reality and then the strategy to change the outcome. Because another thing we're able to do is without changing the condition, okay, the Legos didn't change, the point system didn't change. What did we do? We changed the strategy. Everyone knows each other's constraints out of the gate, so we get early collaboration, earlier teaming, and then we change the strategy of more planning before building. two simple strategy changes led to drastic improvements.
And this whole exercise was like 30, 45 minutes, like major changes in teamwork. Like, you want to talk about scaling productivity through storytelling. Like, imagine if you just did it that way. Like, so those are the things I'm really, that's my big call to action from this deep dive series, is like, let's lean into that kind of stuff a little bit more and think about this on every day instead of just come to a conference to check it out, right? So that's my big thing where I'm excited about, because then how it ended, and a lot of our pre-calls we were talking about, like, scoring and, like, you know, you got to create healthy competition, which this conference has done a great job to, where they said, you know, stand up if you got this many points. And it was fascinating how some people just, but then others stood, and the people to the end were like starting to challenge each other. Like, well, did you count for the base plate as a point? And like how you're articulating, because words matter, of how you're scoring to win or lose. And in the real world, it's how much profit did you make?
Yes, creates, again, it gives us a space. And there's, I guess there's one other kind of goal that's worth mentioning. And it's that you do these so that people feel the difference. And this, ironically, I got from Germans that were teaching us about tact, Janusz, Julie, and Marco Benninger. And it was Marco who said, if you really want people to understand, you have to have a simulation where they can feel it.
100%.
And I think, you know, definitely from round one, you could feel the frustration, right? You could, you know, and then round two, you could feel the tension about, can we start? But then led to, because we were delaying start, more productive creative work on iterating, prototyping, prefab. So that feeling. And then another one that's been fun as doing these things is that the ability to have, okay, here we started with this and these things worked, but how rapidly we get new ideas to do it even better next time. So we used Menti as we finished and captured from the room, how would you improve this next time? And phenomenal ideas that came out. And it was like one or two. It was like 20 to 30.
And because they were fully engaged. They were like fully feeling the whole thing. And I was one of those. I could have kept putting more and more stuff into that, because it, like, it really got the juices flowing, which is the intent of the
game. We talk about early in the room, get brain sweat, right, where everybody's brain's working. And then that energy and that, you know, the active engagement, people, it's once you flip this switch, it's very hard to go back. So rather than when you hear you've got an opportunity to work with a group, thinking, okay, what am I going to say? And what presentations have I done before that I can use? Instead, you start with, what is the room going to do? And as they do this, what will we learn together?
Mm.
And that, you know, that's kind of what we saw.
So well said. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think this was a bonus add-in this morning, how we kicked off the day.
Yes. Well, so we decided, rather than doing Lego two mornings in a row, because of the kind of the flow that the teams would have, we'd have a 30-minute something. And literally, it was last week that the idea occurred to, let's have a storytelling competition.
And I appreciate you articulating that, because I've been going to these conferences before I really got engaged in conferences, because of the podcast, I kind of weave these stories together. But you'd think it's this whole room of people that just sit and got all worked out. In reality, really good conferences are people that are leading and leading a bunch of other things. And you're meeting the people, what location amenities you have, how many people end up coming, where it all comes together. And it's this last minute thing over and over again. But what you threw in there is like, picking an audible, because this audience was fully rowing in the same direction. That's how I felt with this group. Like, people I've just met, I just met you a couple days ago at lunch, and I could talk for hours about sharing Charlie's story for the good of the art of construction. And you were able to get, if the way I saw it, and I could be wrong, but you guys said, well, kind of see how this breaks out, because you used your tool to have people rate, to say, self-select, would you share a story or not? And you said, this will dictate how this goes. Half the room said they would share the story.
Yeah, so we introduced
it. If you do it the other way around and just say, who wants to come up and tell a story? No one's going to raise their hand.
And we also...
So good on you for emceeing that. Seriously, I want to pause and say, like...
Thank you.
I was sitting there, I was like, wow. And I wouldn't have done it, but I said yes. because of the inspiration that you provided to the room. And my favorite one was the gal that stepped up there and was vulnerable. And then everyone else, like, fed off of that. Like talk about storytelling of, like, this group's talking about how it's not a bed of roses. Like, I lost my business. I was laid off. I thought I was going to lose my family type stories, to then overcoming that. So good on you for getting people to break out on that. Seriously.
And there were a couple other elements of that. One, we intentionally kept it very simple. So we introduced it as a personal transformation in construction. That was the topic to tell a story. Your personal transformation in construction. And then three simple judging criteria. Number one, do you meet time? 3 to 5 minutes. Number two, the quality of the story. You know, so three judges, they're going to subjectively how the story landed with them. But then number three, this 5-second moment. And there I must credit Matthew Dix, great storyteller, maybe the most Moth wins of all time. Moth is a National Public Radio storytelling competition. But he said a really great story has this 5-second moment where you learn or you change. And the value of that is when you share that, you're learning, you're changing, that's what the audience is really going to connect to. That's where they can step in with you. And that's what you said, like that Lauren Williams did. She said, hey, my first construction job, after 10 months, they fired me. They said I had no business in the industry.
So magical.
And then her grit and resilience to move on from that and carve her own path. And that did two very important things that you're learning about storytelling, is that one, it's often that failure that generates empathy.
100%.
And that willingness to be vulnerable.
Yeah, and all the stories were top-notch that were... And I think we were all sitting there like, oh, I could sit here all day long and do this. But then we got to go, we got to take bite-sized pieces at bite-sized moments. Because when I hired a speaking coach, and the advice he gave me was Devin, you got to hit them in the heart, which is what we were talking about, the ones where you got in. Then you may get into their mind and start getting that. And there's a chance if you do that, you could reach the soul. And I felt that this morning when, like, you, Josh, and I jumped in the water, like we hit in the heart when the water, and we're like, made us. And then you jumped off the diving board, and then we were standing there, looking at the skyline and coming up, and we're like, this. Imagine if everyone was feeling this right now.
Right. What if we were standing in the water having our conversations as the sun came up? What might we talk about, and how might we? Yeah, it's a good new goal.
Yeah, I mean, the chi and who was the guy that came with us this morning? The lean.
Oh, Duan. Yes.
And jumped in with us and like, yesterday he was telling me all about these ice baths, and this morning on the way there, you're kind of like the unknown, right? And the fear of the unknown. And construction is like that over and over and over again, but if you break that stuff down, so... Charlie, what an honor to meet you and dive into the water with you together and have as much fun as possible.
Yeah, it was a great, great time.
We'll close this thing out with the two questions we always ask. Number one is, Charlie, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
So I focus on one thing that I believe is fundamentally going to change the industry, and that's empathy. And so my crystal ball is that as we learn more from empathy, technology will eliminate the inhumane things we force people to do today. Ridiculous manual double, triple entry, unconnected data that we destroy and rebuild multiple times. All that will free the human mind to bring the creativity to be more productive, more efficient. Another thing that happens with that is shifting from this industry where, and it's happened globally, not just in the U.S., but somehow trades are a lower tier. Families don't want to consider that for their kids, to we're doing some of the coolest robotics. We have some of the most amazing material science. We have some of the absolute best application of AI and machine learning. So we'll shift this talent gap and draw new minds to the industry.
Absolutely love it. And the final thing we always ask is, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business? And I'm going to say on your behalf and then let you bring us home at the end of this conference of empathy with the right storytelling. And we all want to be listening, but are you being heard? Bring us home, Charlie.
A powerful thought I had, and I first had it in London, where I'd seen all these cranes in the sky and I was being interviewed, and had gone to the Globe Theater with my daughter and Shakespeare, and had some background in literature, and it's actually undergrad, just so you know, I was a creative writing major. It kind of makes sense. I tell people the most important class I took was storytelling from a little lady who said you should be able to command the room with your eyes and your voice. But what occurred to me in London, and I know it to be even more true today, is this. I define storytelling as imagine that which is not and take other people there with you. And with that definition, I believe construction is one of the highest art forms for storytelling, because we do that in a real way. We take the owner and architect's vision and we create a building that people can go to and is permanent, and that imagining and taking others with you then creates a lasting value for the planet, that you learn in buildings, you have children in buildings, you get healthcare in buildings, you build tech in buildings. We're in this art of storytelling, creating the future for what's going to happen with the human race on the planet Earth.
I love it. The final thing in this final closeout is big shout out to Nathan Wood and everybody that makes the Construction Progress Coalition work. And we're honored to be affiliated with them through the Art of Construction. And we're working on all kinds of fun meetups in the fall and different things we're going to be collaborating together. But kind of how we begin with the end in mind on all of these series, Charlie, of Training the Trainer, what's the call to action and why are you here? And give us a shout out to the AEC Integration Summit, why you're involved, shout outs to Nathan, and bring us home of why others should join the movement.
So I'm here because of this desire to find that common tribe, people who want things to be better and have some strategy, but are looking and realize that it's going to be a broad coalition. It's not going to be an individual company or department within a company. I'm here because Nathan and Jeff had joined some workshops and saw these ahas and said, hey, can you come do some other things? And then they've been willing to every time. Last year, we did the first anti-keynote at a construction conference. This year, we did the first construction storytelling competition at a construction conference. Like, it takes something to go out. This is Nathan's brand, something he's worked to shepherd, but good on him for saying, hey, we'll go do this new thing and see how it lands. And I feel like we stuck the landing this week.
Well, we'll leave it at that. We stuck the landing. If you're not here, Construction Channel, Art of Construction, putting all this content, because construction is not just a show up and throw up one sentence gig, right? It's lifelong learners all working together to have the passion, to be able to share your story, be able to audible from your story and put it all together, because collaboration drives innovation. Charlie, what an honor. Thanks for sharing your story.
Hey, thank you so much, Devin. Thanks for all the hard work capturing these art of construction stories.
Awesome. Thanks, man.